Start the day in the Torah way, Rabbi Shlomo Angel.
So Baruch Shechiyonu v'kimonu l'asman hazeh, that we've come to a time now after the Yom Meroim, and different Sforim talk about the Yom Meroim, what it's meant to do to us. Like it says, Vasienu Hashem Elokeinu is Birkas Moyadecho. Vasienu means to load up on one hand. We load up and load up and load up, Roshono, Yom Kippur, etc., etc. On the other hand, or rather, together with that, this Vasienu means we carry it over. That was, whatever we've learned, we carry over. We've got time at Chodesh Cheshvan, or Mar Cheshvan, to be able to concentrate. I was in Eretz Yisrael on Tuesday, and then I was at a chasna, Sadi Gera chasna. And it's at other places as well, in the Hasidic circles. In Sadi Gera, they don't have any chasnas in Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan, no chasnas in Cheshvan. So they, even though they're not always makbid on shkia, but here the Sadigera Rebbe was officiating at the time. He hurried things up kedei to make sure that that was all over at shkia time. No more chasnas in my cheshvan. Well, I can appreciate as well, I don't know if this is a reason, but it just occurred to me this week. It occurred to me, because Gantz Poshot, Cheshvan is a time when we can concentrate, at least at the beginning. We've got Breishis, Noach, Lech Lecho, Vayero, Chayesoro. We've got time to be able to contemplate what exactly the Sedras are telling us, to give us a good start, a fair start, to continue this Vasinu Hashem Elokeinu Esbirkas Moedecho, to understand. So I'm going to tell you over what I said, what I saw rather, in the last few days, which I think is a bit of an eye-opener. We understand that we all have a chiyuv to learn, Torah, and Torah teaches us. But this week I got a slightly new concept, and what's a pshat? People learning Torah. It doesn't matter who it is and when it is, but what's a pshat learning Torah? So someone gave me a kuntras of Rabbi Mishkovsky, one of the Mashkiach in Orchas HaTorah and Eretz Yisrael Gaon Yaakov. What's a pshat learning Torah? After all, I mean, Bereishis is learning Torah, and it's what the Gemara says in the beginning of Bereishis, that Bereishis is Meloshon, Torah is Meloshon Eroa, and Bereishis tells us halachas in Halichas Oilam. So that's why we need Bereishis to tell us. This is another understanding. He says that Reb Shmuel Lozovsky, gave the Bochrim to understand what was that tzlocha of the Ponovitcherov in building Ponovitch. But when he came to build Ponovitch, there was nothing going for him but b'chinas money. He didn't have a family. His family was wiped out completely in the war. Wife and children. So the Ponovitcherov's understanding in building a yeshiva was perhaps the way an Adam Godel builds a yeshiva. Why? Because the Ponovitcherov had arranged that we're starting to build. So a lorry rolled up in where the yeshiva would have been built, and was going to be built. And when the Ponovitcherov heard the lorry coming, he ran out. What was on this lorry? There were iron poles, yeah, to be able with help of the building of the yeshiva. So the Ponovitcherov ran out, and he came to the lorry, and he tried to schlep these very heavy, whatever you call them, these poles, take them off the lorry, and to help with the building. So the lorry driver said, wait a minute. Rebbe, it's not for you to go and schlep things off the lorry to help build the yeshiva. You know, there are a lot of bochim there. I mean, there were as many bochim as there are today. But I think there were at the beginning of about 30 bochim. So the bochim standing around, go and ask these bochim, or I'll go and ask them. I'll go and ask them to help you schlep these things from a lorry. They'll help me at the same time to help schlep them from a lorry. So the lorry driver went over to the bochum and said, look here, this rabbi is still trying to schlep these things off. It's a bit heavy for him. Go and help him. So they set a vada, they ran up to the Ponomacherov, and they said to the Ponomacherov, Rebbe, let us schlep them off the lorry, these poles off the lorry. So the Ponomacherov said, poles off the lorry? What poles? This is Torah off the lorry. It's Torah off the lorry. And what he meant was that when a person's, we're building a yeshiva, to learn doesn't mean to go into a fertiger Beis HaMedrash and to sit down and learn. It's all the preparations for it as well. That is part of a Torah. And he said, Reb Shmuel Zofsky, that was one of the successes of the Ponomacherov. That he didn't view Torah as, right, we're going into a shiur being given, we sit down to a shiur, and then the shiur is over, close the shiur, and that's it. Torah is part of Torah is to, for the preparation as well. How one goes about it. And he continues and he says, that's why to be able to learn Torah, one needs to work on Midas, one needs to understand what exactly we're going to, what it is to go to a Shia or to go to Torah, and not stand up just sitting down there, because that's what I understand. Avada, one gets chal for sitting down and listening as well, but it's a preparation too. That's what he says. He says a lot of people just see Limud HaTorah and just learning the Daf Gemara that's in front of them. And this is where it starts and that's where it finishes. And Chazal tell us that's not the case. I mean, when we have a Gemara with Reb Chiya said, if it wouldn't have been for me, Tishtakech Torah Miyisrael. He had this debate with Reb Chanina, Tishtakech Torah Miyisrael. So it says, what did Reb Chanina do? Reb Chiya do? He went and he sowed flax. And when the flax grew, and he cut the flax, and he used the flax to make nets. And after the nets were used to capture deer. And when he took the deer, and he shechted them, and the meat he gave to Aniyim, and from the he flayed the skin, and this skin he made parchment, and on the parchment he wrote Torah, and on the when he wrote the Torah, he went to a group five of boys, and he said, look, I'm going to teach you Torah, and I want you to be a chroy to teach others, and that was his success. So he said, if it wouldn't have been for me, Tishtakach Torah Yisrael, Torah would have been forgotten from Gal Yisrael. So it's really the same Yisrael. I mean, if he wanted to teach them, let someone else do all the work, and he'll go along and teach them. But that is learning the Daf as it's in front of me. To be able to teach part of the Torah is to be able to go and to capture deer and to flay the deer. And that is part of the Torah. He didn't see this as being something which was a piece is covered. As the Ponomacherov said, that's part of learning Torah. So to be able to go to learn Torah, one needs to be a ben Torah, which Baruch Hashem, hopefully we are, to a certain extent, but it's part of it. To be able to prepare for the Torah itself. And these help a person with the learning too. Yeah. Another interesting point he said, and this is Rav Moshkovsky, I'm coming back to Rav Moshkovsky, he said another interesting point, when a person wants to learn Torah, to be a Torah, he says another concept that the Ponomacherov had, which perhaps is different from the way the world looks at it. But that was a success. So, originally, I mentioned there were about 30 bochim in Ponovich, approximately 30 bochim. So the kitchen staff complained that there wasn't enough, there weren't enough pots, enough cutlery. So Ponovich said, thank you very much for coming. I'll go and buy cutlery. So he went along to buy cutlery from Tel Aviv at the time. And he came back with massive pots and cutlery, not for 30 bochum, much more than that, and cups galore. And So they said, the kitchen staff said, Rebbe, we said pots, we meant pots, small pots, enough for 30 bochum. This is enough. There were massive pots. Why do you have to buy the big pots for such a small amount of bochum? He says, where the small amount of bochum? When I see this yeshiva, I didn't see it as 30 bochum. I see it as 600 bochum. So I'm preparing you for the future. And that's what Abraham Chirova understood. All right, we've started with 30, but if you just remain with that's my ideology, 30 bochum, you're not going to get very far. So he looked at that in a different way. It's like someone came up to a mashgiach came up to one of a bocha yeshiva, and he told him to do something, which the bocha felt, Rebbe, this is not for me. This is for very good bochum. You're asking me to do something which is it's not quite my madriga. So the mashgiach said, I'm not looking at you now. I'm looking at you, Baruch Hashem, later on, and you have children. And if you look in the future, then it builds up a person's mind. I'm not just learning the Daf Gemara. I'm learning Daf Gemara as what it's going to teach me. We never stay the same. We're there, and we're going to be better. But people don't see the better. So that's why the view is a very narrow-minded view. Today is today. Today is Friday, and tomorrow is Shabbos, and next is Sunday. But if a person learns something from Friday, and they help it to build them for Shabbos, and then after they continue to build, they look at their life as not being for the now, it's for the future. Which makes a big difference in life. And that doesn't matter where a person standing in life is. And then there's something else, and from that I understood the Rabbi Rucham much better as well. Rabbi Rucham looks at the Tevas Noach and the whole story of Noach, and he asks a question. I've seen today, Dafka, that the Altar HaKodesh asks a similar question. But Rabbi Rucham asks this question. He says, you've got, a Pasuk says, Eile Toildes Noach, Noach is Tzadik, Toma Moyo, but the Reis of the Pasuk says, Noach is a Gewaldige Tzadik. For his generation, it was a Gewaldige Tzadik. Toma Moye Bederesov. Gewaldig. So, what do we do with this Tzadik? So, this Tzadik built, he was told to build a Teva for 120 years, and then he goes into the Teva. And he has to work round the clock. He has to work round the clock from beginning of the day to the end of the day. Some nocturnal animal says to work by night. And by Shor Ach Noach, the Pasuk says, and Noach was, when he came out of the Teva, he was a ghost of his former self. By Shor Ach Noach, a ghost of his former self. Koyev, a goinach, the lion hit him. He wasn't doing very well physically, and he had to work very hard. So the Biruchim asks, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say a tzaddik that Noach is tzaddik, and make him work round the clock in the Teva? Why was it so? I mean, the fact that the Teva survived was a miracle in itself. Gewaldige miracle. So let there be one more miracle. Let all the animals in the Teva would survive a year without food. Or perhaps even more than that, let the whole world succumb, and Noach should go to Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't, there was a marble in Eretz Yisrael as well, it seems, but not with the same, it wasn't sure that the waters weren't as fierce as they were in other places in the world. So let's go to Eretz Yisrael. Why was it that he had to work round the clock? So the Rabbi Rucham says that we learn from here that a klal, that the oilam is la'atzmoy. Generally speaking, the non-Torah world, everything is dependent on themselves. Everything is dependent on themselves. After I was in Israel on Tuesday, I had another chassid in Switzerland on Wednesday. So I ended up in Switzerland on Wednesday. And on the way back from Switzerland, I was told which train to take. So I was on the platform on the train station in Basel. I had to go from Basel, Zurich to Basel. So I was on a train. I was on the platform, and I met a man there, and the man saw that I wasn't 100% sure the train hadn't come in yet, and it was there was about 10 minutes to go. So he said, "Are you looking for a train?" He said, "I'm looking at the train from to go to Basel." So he said, "Okay." And so he started schmoozing. He had a very interesting accent. So I asked him, where is he from? So he said, actually, he's living in Switzerland, but he was born in Switzerland. He went to South Africa, actually, Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, Rhodesia, and then he ended up in South Africa. Right, so when he came to talk about South Africa, that was one of the subjects I like talking about. I might as well talk about the flora sabrina, talk about animals. So that's a subject I like anyway. So we're talking about animals. Oh, so he said, well, we're going on the same train. So, and he wanted to sit in the same carriage, or he wanted to carry on the conversation. So I went on this train, and we sat down opposite each other, and he carried on. And then we were talking about Aldor, and this and that. And then he saw I was Jewish. It wasn't Chochma. Yes, Chochma read him Tamin, but that wasn't Dafka the Chochma. He saw I was Jewish. So he said, you obviously teach theology, and you teach whatever you teach. He said, yes. He said straight away, I'm an atheist. I'm an atheist, I don't believe. Right? So that was like Doma that he made. So scope for me to go into Kirov and to be Makarovim, that was out of a question. I didn't bother. Well, I could want at least to give him some. He said, what's it going? But anyway, he was talking about his family a bit, and he talked about here and about there. And anyway, and he threw something in, which after I thought about what he said, well, what's his life all about? His family is all in South Africa. He lives in this little place in Switzerland, and he lives in Zurich. And he was talking about the Flora Sabrina. He even said, "I know, yeah, it's wonderful. He's going to go to a lecture about Saturn. What does he free from Saturn? He knows it's a wonderful thing. The whole Bria is a wonderful Bria, but that's where it stops. I mean, it's not teaching him to become a better person." And he threw in the words, what I've got in life. First of all, he said, I'm living. He was an elderly man. First of all, I'm living. Oh, so I didn't start telling him, well, actually, you're machaven to a medrash and kehelis, because what does it mean to him? But al kaponim, that's not my son. In odom chai, gevra chatov, dailo yishu chai, he's machaven to that medrash. It's enough that I'm alive. I mean, that's very good. But he also says, my life is only thinking about myself. That's what he said. I think about myself. Other people don't come into it. I mean, he was schmoozing to me. All right, but that's because he wanted to have someone to have to schmooze to in the train. But that his yesoyed in life was, I only think about myself. And this is what Rabbi Ruchem says in this psukim. He says that some people think that it's only themselves. When things don't go well with them, the reaction is, well, things haven't gone well for me, and therefore I have to react to it. Not going well. I just thought, on my way here, I've never heard so many hoots on Northumberland Street before. The people are hooting and thinking, obviously, because of the work that's going on. I mean, I don't know. What does one gain from that? Basically, you're in my way here. I want to get somewhere, and because I want to get somewhere, so you have to get out of the way. So I'm going to hoot. What is the world was created? Says Yeruchim Lizalosi. The world is created to be able to understand, like we said in the beginning, to be able to say that learning Torah is one thing, but there's a lot more than just the learning of the Torah. The akdoma to the Torah is, and what one's going to gain from it in the future. That is very, very important. So the world is created as a losse. And so he says, for Meach ish tzaddik, to be able to build the world once again, it's got to be a world that is meshamash lachirim. Because that's the ikur shel Odom. He says, all the gedulis v'nefloish ba'odom, yet the person which a lev is, the lev and the lev is a tzelem alekim. Yeah, and the lev serve, if that's the most important part of the body, the lev, all the other parts of the body should serve the lev, he says, but it's not so. The lev serves the rest of the body, because that's what every person's here for. We're created, we come into this wonderful world that we're in for a purpose that's lizalosai, to do the others. And that's why Dafka Noach had to work round the clock in the table to be able to appreciate Oilom Chesed Yibone. And if you want to build the world again, it's got to be a world which is Lizalos. And he brings a proof from this from a Gemara in Kedushin. And he says, there was a story in Gemara, the Blezer, the Bishua, the Tzadik, they were all at a Simcha together. a simcha. What's a simcha? The son of Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel's son was getting married, so they were all at the simcha. And Rabbi Gamliel went, like they do today, the Bala Simcha goes around giving whiskey to people around the table. Then Rabbi Gamliel himself went round and he gave wine to the oilam. So he came round to the table where Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shur and Rabbi Tzolik, and he gave the kois to Rabbi Lezer. Okay, so why? Rabbi Lezer didn't take it. He went to Rabbi Shua, and Rabbi Shua told, thank you very much for the wine. Omale Rabbi Lezer. So Rabbi Lezer said to Rabbi Shua, Maze Yoshua, Onu Yoshim, we're sitting here, but Rabbi Gamliel, Oinme Domashke Oleinu, and we let Rabbi Gamliel the Nossi, we will let him serve us. Haitochem. Omale. So he said back, Mutsina Godom Menesh Shemesh. Everything's a proof in the Torah. There's someone greater. That was also Mishamash. Avram Godla Doir Hoyo, the cost of boy vu oimet aleim. And he writes about vu oimet aleim. So he served the Malachim. V'shem Tama k'malachi ha'shores in Moloi. Ah, it looked like malachi ha'shores, and therefore, when it comes to great rabbis, it's very easy to serve great rabbis. And these were Malachim. So he didn't know the Malachim. He thought they were Arabs. Aravim did Moloi. And he's serving Arabs. So Avram Avinu could do it. So how come? I mean, I will, of course, that's how it's got to be done. So I'm taking from Gamliel. V'onu lo yehid Rabbi Gamliel b'Rebbi oimu d'mashke aleinu. He shouldn't serve us. Omalei Reb Tzodik, who was the third one there, ad mosai atam menichem kevoide shomokoim. Why are you setting aside kevoide shomokoim? V'atam oizgim b'kovod abriyas. And your oizgim b'kovod abriyas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu meshev ruchois omale nesiyem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the wind and brings the clouds. Omoyed motor, as we've experienced yesterday and today. Omoyed motor omatzmiach adoma. Voyerich shulchan lefnei kol echod ve'echod. And he serves every single person. And we've got rain. And the rain brings makes the tua sprout, etc., etc. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meshamash as. So why shouldn't Rabbi Gamliel be meshamash as? That's what the Gemara says. Says Rabbi Yerucham, he says, what exactly does this Gemara mean? So we've got a kasha and a Kadosh Baruch Hu then. So why is a Kadosh Baruch Hu do that? Doesn't answer the question. I mean, you're saying they're right. So Rabbi Gamliel is Meshamash. So I've got someone else who's Meshamash. That's Avraham Avinu. So the question is, why is Avraham Avinu Meshamash then? He's also not from Godel. And if you're saying, well, a Kadosh Baruch Hu Meshamash, so why is a Kadosh Baruch Hu Meshamash? Well, how does it answer the question? So Rabbi Yerucham says, the pshat is, Chazal are telling us a very important yesod, that the main Ikar HaBriya, the way the world was created, just like there's a sun and a moon and the stars, the main thing in the Briya is the Godel Yishashamash as a cotton. That's the way it works. The Ikar Chiyus and the Yenika of the world is Dafka Meshamash L'Zelosoy and Dafka Godel Meshamash as a cotton, because that is Pshat Gadlus. What's a Pshat a Godel? What makes a person great? When a person is Oidim Meshamash. So a Godel doesn't have to mean a Godel as we might see, Oidim Godel. We've got Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Salah Gesundheit and Ali Godelim. Every person can be an Oidim Godel. Because how does a person become an Oidim Godel? The fact that a Godel Meshamash is a Kodim. Because that is one of the Ikri Briya. Ikri Briya. This is an interesting vort that I saw this week. Taka also in this week's Seder. And I've seen again the Mefoshim ask this question. When Noach came out of a teva, one of the things that he did was, well, let's make a plantation. And the first thing he planted was a geffen, a vine. And he's taken to task why he planted a vine. And the question therefore is, why is he taken to task of planting a vine? I mean, he comes out of a teva. It's actually, Zalman Sorotskin says, when he came out of a teva, he came out first with his children. And then the women followed. So he explains why he came out first. It's Gans Potter. We've said in the past, it's very difficult to imagine, that one of the things that the Prime Zaitchik says is that when we learn Chumash, he brings a proof for this. Well, we mentioned this recently. One's got to imagine that one's learning the Torah, one's there at the time. It's not just we're here. Oh, very interesting. There was a story about Noach and the table. And the goyim say, and Jonah, he lived in a whale. Oh, very, very nice. Something's happened in the past. There's no such thing. We're reliving it. That's why he says we call the place Aloin Bogos, because Rivka Imenu, we said, Rivka Imenu was nifta at the time, but the Torah doesn't say Rivka Imenu was nifta at the time. Why doesn't the Torah say Rivka Imenu was nifta? Because they shouldn't see at the Levaya of Rivka Imenu, if it's made official, and they're all posters all over the place, that Nofla Teres Reshenu, then people are going to say, Yena Teres Reshenu, look what a rush of a son she had. So they made it hush hush. The whole Levaya was very, very hush hush. So the Loim Bochus, yeah, the Voida Menekes Rivka was Nifta, but we don't say about the Petito of Rivka Imenu. So the Ephraim Zaytchik's asked, that's all very well, that at the time they made the hash hash, but the Maisa, we know when what a great woman Rivka Imenu was. We know she's our mother, just like the oldest our father. So why can't we know when she was Nifta? The answer is that when we learn the Torah, we're not learning the Torah, oh, this is what happened so long ago. We've got to imagine that we were there at the time. And that's how we're learning the Torah. We're there at the time. And it's a Leviah. Who's the Leviah? Rivka Imenu. But don't publicize it, because we are there, the Leviah. Shasha. Don't tell anyone. That's how we're going to learn the Torah. And if we learn the Torah that way, then it's a different view of the Torah at all. It's not stammers. We're sitting down and we're learning, and then we close the Chumash. Right, next week, please. It means much more than that. So what's the pshat? Okay, Rambam Sotskin says, why the men went out of the Teva first? Because with all due respect to the women, they're a bit more sensitive. And the women were very scared that when they're going to get out of the Teva, they're going to see dead bodies strewn all over the place. Oh, we don't want that. So, Noach, men first, please. You go out first. Have a look. Have a look here. Have a look there. What's going on? What's the work look like now? We've had a year in the Teva. There's been a massive flood. What do we look at? We're on the Hore Arot. And Hore Arot. Let's have a look. Then on a mountain, we didn't know what to expect. We're going to see dead bodies strewn all over the place. That's what we've got to imagine. Like when I was living in Liverpool, someone once gave me a tape from the BBC. The BBC, they made an expedition to Mount Ararat. And I gave the tape to here. I haven't got any more. But I remember listening to it, this tape. So that expedition's to see where the Teva of Noach landed. They made an expedition. And they say, when that expedition, they said that they spotted there was an indentation in the mountain, in Mount Ararat, which was exactly the measurement of the Teva. Exactly the measurement of the Teva. All right, so that's another idea. We've got to imagine that we're there at the time. And they saw this Mount Ararat. They were discussing it at the time, this Mount Ararat and the flood. For him to fly. But Al Kapol, the goyim wanted to see where this is. So I seem to remember. Bal Kaponim, so they come out of the Teva. So Noach comes out of the Teva, there's complete desolation. Absolute desolation. So what do we do? And to see a world when there's nothing there, besides two elephants that have come out of the Teva, of course, the elephants, and a few mice, and a few of this, and they all come out of the Teva. All right, they come out of the Teva, one after the other, and they start going all over the world, and they've got a special bracha, and they reproduce. But he's a man together with his family. He sees nothing else. So logically, what is the first thing that he would go and plant? And the other psukim would say that wine uplifts a person. So, let's take a swig of the bottle. I mean, it can't support it. It'll be an uplift. I mean, as I state the puzzle, V'yayinis ha-machavav enoish. So he plants it. It's got this love. It's delicious. Well, it's a bit too late. The Medrash says exactly what was in this vine. But Al Kapon, and he was shikah. Can we blame him for it? So the Mefarshim explain, if I'm saying this is a Simcha Wasserman had mentioned this. You know, the Mefarshim explain, the same is said really. The same Simcha Wasserman said that this was the Vod. The Vod was that Noach, when he came out of the Teva, right, we're talking about a very great person here, the first thing he thought about was, how can I boost myself? If you would plant in a chito, a chito is not, it doesn't show that you see, I want to have an uplift. Why do you think of yourself when you come out of a teva? Think of that. I wouldn't have said it myself, but as I state, the first thing you should plant is not, I want to have an uplift. Leave out the I. We're trying to start the world off again. So, and as I said, he's in the teva. So when it comes out, he's a very great person, so he's judged in a way that other people aren't judged. But this is the way it is. And that's what Simcha Wasserman said. He said he told this over to Rabbi Ephraim Bodyansky, and he said that was that slocha of the Ponovitcherov, coming back to the Ponovitcherov again. That slocha of the Ponovitcherov was that when he came to Bnei Brak, the first thing he thought about is not how to build himself up, how to build up the world again. And that's why, let's look at Chazanish said, Hazorim Bedin Ma Barina Yitzori comes in the middle of the war, and he says, he's going to be in yeshiva on that mount that would later be Yeshiva Sponovich. They thought there was something wrong with him. How's he going to build the yeshiva? It's not Shaykh. No money, no nothing. But more than that, when he built the yeshiva, the Ponovich yeshiva, there was something else that he did as well. He decided to make the Moisad Bota Ovis. Bottle office is a place where children that haven't got anywhere to go, haven't got anywhere to live. So the Oinam told the Ponovitcherov Hesachain that you can't, there's no better route for a yeshiva. To build a yeshiva with a bottle office, that's a practical impossibility. Where are you going to get the money from? It's either yeshiva or it's a bottle office. So the Ponovitcherov says, nothing to it. We're going to build that. And he did. And he built both. You can't have the Torah without the Chesed with it, without the Zelosai. So we've got to build a moiser together with the Torah, where we show the Olam that we're not just interested in going and sitting and learning the Daf Gemara, we're also interested in building up the world. Bota Ovois, people have not got anywhere to go, they can go to this moiser, then they're looked after properly, because it's got to go hand in hand. Olam Chesed Yibonah. So it's all very well to build the yeshiva and bring Torah, and that's how badly important, but it's got to go together with the Bota Ovois as well. That was his idea. And then I saw in Mosaka Oyer just yesterday that he also Noach is Ish Tzadik on my razor, but he says one of the problems of Noach was he wasn't Mispalal al Bnei Doiri. Now he himself was living a life, Gevaldik, which was Kulei Torah, but he wasn't Mispalal al Bnei Doiri, and he was taking to task. Noach lehogin al Doiri vel Ispalov, it wasn't Megan. So and then he built the teva. And I kishmokel told Noach, "Ato Yosef beveischa, you're sitting in your house. Ve'encha mashkiach ane nase boy. Are you not mashkiach? What's happening here? Encha noisen libcha latzara mesageshes al bnei adam. And you're not worrying about them. And then you'd have to be in the teva for 12 months. And you're therefore on this in the teva. Your work has to be able to be mashar as other people, or other animals. Sorry, other animals. To be mashar as animals. That was his work in the teva because you weren't mespala al bnei doyde." So that's a pshat. Eile tull dois noyach, noyach is tzadik, es eloi kim mishalach noyach. I thought it was a moedik, it's kim mishalach noyach. But as a kim mishalach noyach, he was looking after his own ruchnias. Es eloi kim mishalach noyach. And that's very important. The important thing, the mistake, I hope I can see, so I mean, the noyach was that he wasn't mishalach al b'nei doyde. The Zolosa wasn't there. And he brings down the following story. Amaisa Shahoyo. And he says, Gedolei Adolis. And we've said before, Godel doesn't mean Odom Godel. It means every single one of us is an Odom Godel. As long as we're careful that the learning itself is the learning, but there's the before and there's the after, as we said. Right, so let's look at this Maisa. This Maisa happened. The Moshe Goy says his friend, someone called him Nitzim Teshuva, told him his story. Happened 10 years ago, Tovshin Tzkenet, Shabbos Shuva, Tovshin Samachtes. In Tel Aviv, there was Nifta, a person called Rav Poloich. That was his name. And this Rav Poloich, was a person that put a lot of koiches into being Makarov, young chiloinim, young boys that had never been introduced to learning for Derech HaTorah in a place where he lived. And he lived in a shchuna called Ramat HaChayel, wherever that is. And he made a mokum Torah in a miklat there, in a place of shelter. And there, it was underneath the ground. And there, he got bochrim that never seen a daf gemara before and taught them. With the hope, Shamoy Shabohem Machzir on the Motiv. I mean, we all hope that when we learn Torah. So what happened was the following. He says, he was sitting in the Beis HaMedrash one day, and he was waiting for Bochum to come. And he invited Bochum to come, and only one Bochum turned up. So only one Bochum turned up. So he's not going to start the shir. So the Bochum suggested to Rav Polach, he said, well, sir, they're all learn with me. I mean, we don't have to. So one person's good enough. We'll learn with me. No. We've got to wait till others come. So they waited, and then the Bochum said, right, I mean, we've waited enough. So if Shadarov can learn with me. No, we've got to get some other people. They're not coming. All right, so we'll go out and find them. So he went out together with this Bochum. The Bochum was a bit ashamed, you know, to go out with the Rav. Where are you going to find them? So it's all people. Even there was no one around. So he said, all right, let's go to a house. We're going to go to a house. The Maaser Shoyo, he said, they said over to Slavaya, I think. So went over to the house, knocked on the door of this house, and a Chiloni opens the door. And a Paloch asks this Chiloni, Bavakasha, Ratzim Lelmod, I want to learn with you. When this Chiloni heard this, he started faltering and he was going to faint. So they quickly went up to him, the Bocha and this Paloch, and held him. They sat him down, they gave him some water, and they said, what's happened? So he said the following, that's a maisa here. He said, we should never know of such a maisa, but he said, you should know, he told them, that this evening, I came to a matzav that I was absolutely fed up with life. I looked at myself, I looked at my life, and I've got nothing, even though I've got nothing in life. Yeah, and therefore, I'm going to do away with it. And there was a string hanging there already. I'm going to do away with it. He showed them the string, and I finished with life. And then something came into my mind. Just before I was going to hang myself, I said, the Chiloni said, if you're there, then please send me a message that there's some hope in life. And as I finished saying that, you knocked on the door. You said you want to learn. And you asked me to learn Torah. So this Yid said this over in the Levaya for Palach. This person that was a Makuruv said this over in the Raya of Palach. He said this over, and he said, if you want to know how far I was away from Torah before this Palach knocked on the door, I'll tell you that in Tel Aviv is Rechov HaShomer, and people were Mechal Shabbos, cars were going backwards and forwards. And the mayor of Bnei Barak decided that they're not going to come into Bnei Barak, these cars. So he put bollards, and he put chains in between the bollards. And he said that I, together with I was an anti-das, it only happens as the Maral says with Eden, and I went together with a friend, and we said, we're going to smash the chains, and we're going to drive into Bnei Barak, or smash them. So I went with my friend, and we didn't realize the chains were pretty tough. And we smashed it, and my friend was killed, and I survived, but that's how much I hated it. I hated that. Interesting, that was the person that now, the Levaya of Palach, the Palach was a person who saw the world in a different light. He saw the world as, right, Avada, we learned Torah, but what can we do, Lizalose? And that's how one builds a world. And this person, you also see from this, that Tfilah's got a gewaldige koyach. The Tfilah has got a gewaldige, that even this Tfilah of a person that's such a chiloini, that's such an anti-das, he comes along and it's Paul just before he's about to hang himself, like a shpoch, he says. And now the Munna is there, not like this atheist I told you I met in Basel there. That's all I think is about myself. Because that's what a Yid has got this in the Shomer, this pintle of Yid. And he said, Bernie Shalom, show me a message, show me something. And that's what he was given. So that's what we've got. We've got Baruch Hashem, Chodesh Cheshvan. We've got the Limud of Pashas Noach. And then we come about to the Pashas of Obeis, our fathers. It's not just as we say, sitting and learning the Daf Gemara, or sitting and learning a page. We've got the Rechaim, because it's about it, it's Gevald Gezak. But the Olam, we all understand, it's what happens before, how one prepares for some of it and what one takes with it, and hopefully it'll bring us a marcheshum, which is like not bitter but very sweet.